I'm Kaylee Weichbrot. I'm a mom of two in Fairfax County. This is my oldest. And my husband and I have a difficult decision to make this fall as he is approaching preschool age, and we are faced with the decision of whether or not we are going to put our child in public school system where Fairfax County has decided to move forward with instituting gender studies in elementary school. Despite having done a study group, a focus group in the community to see if parents even wanted this. And when parents said no, the board voted 16-0 and said we're moving forward anyways.
They don't care about you and your kids. They don't care about normalcy. They are bent on taking over all of the institutions that govern countries in the West. And they've been doing so rapidly for the last decade, in particular, right here in Canada, under the Liberal and NDP government and their allies. I'm Frank Vaughn. It is March 25th, 2025. And I can tell you that this situation will not improve if we elect Mark Carney Prime Minister. Now, if you want to split hairs, you can say that Fairfax County is part of the United States. It's not here in Canada, but this is a problem that is sweeping the West. Mark Carney himself has a child that is transgender. However, this child is not a child. This article from Bug Eyed and Shameless, "You Don't Go After Their Kids," a smear against Mark Carney's kid and the politics of attacking trans people. Well, there are no trans people. They're not a biological reality. Transgenderism is an identity. It is a mental construct. And that is all it will ever be. Mark Carney sent his child, then child, because this child that everybody's talking about is 24 years old, to a discredited institute called Tavistock, which has fully embraced, or had fully embraced, this transgender radicalism. Now, if Mark Carney's family has embraced it, you have a contrast, because Pierre Poilievre's family is pretty normal. His kids are pretty normal. They have a pretty normal marriage and relationship. And instead of hiding in the shadows, Pierre's family is out front, where you can see them. He has, in spite of what you may have heard from online folks, he has said that he supports only two genders, only two sexes. If you think change comes suddenly and automatically like an axe cutting through a piece of paper, that's not how it works. It starts with language and then it moves forward. If you want to judge him because he voted for things like C4, and supported different motions that supported gender therapy, you must understand the power of the party whip here in Canada, that the leader dictates the direction of the party, and the leader was a very different leader in those times. The CPC is now led by Poilievre, and Poilievre is very different from Andrew Scheer and Aaron O'Toole. On this file, I think it's worth a vote. Now, I've been talking the last couple days about the knuckle-draggers in the PPC, and here's one of them right here, sharing doctored footage that's supposed to show Pierre Poilievre speaking at the World Economic Forum, except it didn't happen. He's never spoken at the World Economic Forum, but their hero, their god king, Maxime Bernier, has. Maxime Bernier was very proud of his globalist record right up until 2017 when he ran for the leadership of the CPC on his record as a globalist. They ignore that, and they attack Poilievre, who's never been to Davos.
I've had people that have said that you yourself are connected to the World Economic Forum, and I wanted to give you an opportunity to address this head-on, because I'm sure you've seen it as well. Is there a connection there? Have you ever spoken at a World Economic Forum event?
No, I have not. No, I've never been to Davos. I've never been part of the organization, and I don't agree with its publicly stated policy objectives. My policies are different. I obviously support small government, more freedom, and individual independence.
So there you have it. from the horse's mouth. He's never been there, and there's no proof that he's ever been there. Why can't the PPC criticize the Conservative Party on the merits that are true? You see, that's what I do. I've criticized the Conservative Party on numerous points, but I do it on fact-based things. Why do they lie? They don't help themselves. They just hurt themselves. This on the Conservative Party of Canada's website says, whereas Trudeau liberals frequently attend the World Economic Forum conferences in Davos to give lectures on their radical woke agenda and hobnob with celebrities, whereas the policies of the WEF do not align with those of hardworking Canadian families, whereas public funds spent on these highfalutin trips to Davos would be better used to support Canadian families, and whereas Canadian families are struggling with the rapidly increasing cost of living driven by the reckless inflationary spending of Justin Trudeau and his Liberal government. I'm adding that part because they've disappeared Justin Trudeau like he's never existed. They're not discussing his legacy. They're not hanging portraits. They're not doing fawning goodbyes. They disappeared him. They swapped in Carney. Carney kept his government. It's the exact same thing. Don't buy the face swap. Therefore, we the undersigned support Pierre Poilievre in banning, in caps, all his future cabinet ministers from attending WEF conferences and demand that Justin Trudeau begins prioritizing Canadian workers over the interests of Davos elite. Now, people will say, why would we believe the CPC? Well, let me ask you, because it's PPCers who asked that question. Why would you believe Max, who went there, who was proud of his record, who has changed his story more times than I can count? He adopts positions that pad out his donations. This man, with a proven track record of being proud of the globalism he brought here, the very agendas, Agenda 2030, that he opposes, he helped bring here as the second most powerful man in the Harper government, while Pierre Poilievre was a mere backbencher, just doing what the whip told him. And you might say, why didn't he resist? Why didn't he stand up? If he stands up, there is no Poilievre-led CPC today because he would have been thrown out of the party. That's just how it works. I don't have to like it to recognize how it works. And somehow, in the PPC mindset, Bernier gets a free pass for all the bad things that he did. Now, when I joined up with him 2018, 2019 to try and create a real party, not intending to create a party of one, a corporate dictatorship, which Maxime Bernier runs and sits atop of right now, to the detriment of all involved, I gave him a second chance. I gave him a redemption opportunity to write a redemption arc. And instead of actually taking ownership of his actions, he just shrugged his shoulders and said, I was just following along. But now I'm true. Now I'm different. But since all he does is undermine Canada and undermine the CPC, that's his whole mission, his raison d'etre. I extend to the Conservative Party of Canada and Pierre Poilievre the exact same chance that I gave him. Maxime failed. He failed miserably. He's a pathetic man. He's never going anywhere. He's never going to win. And he doesn't face his critics. He blocks everybody that tells the truth about him because he's a coward. Cowards don't lead. I criticize the CPC all day. I criticize Pierre Poilievre in my videos. He's never blocked me. He's never stopped me from commenting. His party's never done that. And thus we arrive at a key difference between the Poilievre-led Conservative Party and Mark Carney's Liberals. I'm not going to talk about Jagmeet Singh anymore because he has successfully tanked the NDP. I don't think they ever recover. They would need a magnificent, charismatic leader and a completely new group of people to come in and take it over. And I don't know if there's any worth in it since they're probably not going to be represented by more than a seat or two. The poor NDP, I almost feel sorry for them. I know good NDP people, and they are in trouble. This is a tweet I wrote yesterday. Under Poilievre, you will continue to have free speech and be able to advocate for the change you want in Canada, whatever that change means to you. Under Carney, you will lose your voice and may never find it again. That alone is a powerful and compelling reason to vote for the Conservative Party of Canada. And it is. Now, some have said to me, you don't have free speech. You have a privilege. You don't have a right because the government can suspend it anytime they want. That is a flaw that I have highlighted about our system. Our rights in Canada under the Charter are pretty weak. And even when those rights are violated, The judiciary doesn't hold anybody accountable. There's a lot of problems with Canada, but I am here right now speaking to you. One of the reasons I'm speaking to you is the influence, the proximity influence of the United States. Things were pretty dark in Canada before COVID came along. There was a lot of censorship. There was a lot of banning on Facebook. There was a lot of shadow banning and algorithmic manipulation. When Musk bought X, things got better on all platforms. So you can have far more open discussions now than you could in the past. These are positive things. The Conservative Party doesn't support Bill C-63, which is the Online Harms Reduction Act, which is Orwellian doublespeak. It really is a censorship act. They want to put ankle bracelets on you, fine you, and give you jail sentences for memes. And if you think that's far-fetched, they're already doing it in Europe, specifically in Britain. It is horrendous. And Vice President J.D. Vance recently, I think 3 weeks ago off the top of my head, called out the UK Prime Minister to his face for that. And he sat there and lied with a straight face, saying that free speech is strong and well in Britain. It is not. It has fallen. Mark Carney will resurrect that bill. It will pass through the legislature if he gets a government. It will pass through our Senate, and we will no longer be able to have these conversations. And that's a problem. The Conservative Party won't do that. And this is another thing that always comes up when it comes to conservatives and the lying about their record. The mandates and this idea that the Conservative Party supported mandates, vaccine mandates, and all of the shenanigans that went along with that. And it's just not factually true. You have Polyev. Now, this was actually a bigger deal at the time than you might otherwise think, because Erin O'Toole was still leader of the Conservative Party of Canada. Erin O'Toole was a very soft milquetoast leader. He threw a perfectly winnable election away by changing policy in the middle of the campaign, which is just terrible. At least Polyev, even if I don't agree with some of his stances vis-a-vis Ukraine, I'm not really keen on his strategy when it comes to the United States, though I do understand why they've gone that way. I think they could have done it different, but I digress. He went, he supported the Freedom Convoy when there was risk to his political career for doing so. That's a fact. And he tried to pass bills in the House of Commons banning mandates. That's a fact too. Anybody telling you otherwise, just like they tell you that he went to Davos and he's part of the WEF, they're lying. Why do they have to lie? It doesn't help their cause. And it doesn't help the human condition here in Canada. We got to stop lying and we got to start just telling the truth. Now, at the bottom of the screen grab is a pretty important comment. They criticize Pierre for marching with the convoy, but Carney walked in solidarity with Prince Andrew and Ghislaine Maxwell. And of course, they turned off the replies. People should really be interested in Mark Carney's association with Maxwell and these skeevy, dirty people, especially considering what happened to his so-called child. What are the implications for Canada if he establishes himself as our prime minister at the head of a majority government? He told you on the campaign trail, dark days ahead. He told you on the campaign trail that there are emergencies unending coming under his watch. He's told you darkness falls on Canada. And if you think that's coming anyway, as I've said before, if you're a disillusionist, you want Canada to dissolve. As long as there's a strong right in this country that is untried and untested under new leadership, that is a bulwark. That is a bulkhead that you have to penetrate first. The Conservatives need to govern to advance all goals. If you want to save Canada, they need to govern. If you want to expose the system, the Senate, and the fraudulent basis of our entire nation, you want them in government trying to do what they're going to do and getting opposed by all of these unelected officials. You want to see that because it exposes the system. We're heading towards a constitutional crisis no matter what we do. It doesn't matter who's in office. There's a problem coming. if you think the Conservative Party are a pack of liars and that everything that they're saying right now, they have no intention of delivering upon. You want them in government to expose them for what they are. There's no way in this country right now that you don't want a conservative majority government. And you shouldn't be fighting against it, regardless of what your goals are. If you want a third-party option, like the PPC, to thrive, the right has to be discredited in government. Otherwise, it's never going to grow. There will never be another option. All roads lead through conservative government. And you should deliver it. Because to do otherwise is to reward the liberals and their NDP allies, even though they're irrelevant now, for 10 years of the most disastrous governance we've ever had in this country. If you can't see the rot in front of your eyes, if you can't see how Canada is losing itself, how our identity is being shattered, how our nation's being shattered, how we're being overrun with mass immigration, which, by the way, they're still talking about Polyev as a mass immigration advocate. His policy now, what he's talking about doing with immigration, matches the PPC policy when it was launched. You should be celebrating that as a good thing. Lowering immigration by almost three quarters and then dialing immigration in to what Canada needs is a smart policy. This idea that we can have a 10-year moratorium when a lot of the workforce is leaving the workplace because they're aging out in the midst of a demographic crisis doesn't make any sense. Canada's always had immigration. We've just got too much. That's the big issue. And we have too much unvetted immigration. We're not being selective. We're not bringing people in because it serves our interests. We have a wide open door to the world and we're handing out citizenships like they're candy at a state fair. That part has to stop. The conservatives are talking about stopping that. You should celebrate a step in the right direction. That's really what you should be doing. This idea that you have to pass an ideological purity test in our Westminster system, in this particular election, there's no room for political absolutism. There's this idea that the conservatives are no different from the liberals. Had a lot more merit in the past. It doesn't have as much merit today based on the facts. It's kind of crazy to me that there's a whole segment of Canada convinced that the Conservative Party are evil, irredeemably so, when the Liberal Party has demonstrated through its actions that they have no allegiance or dedication to the truth or the facts, or even bothering with consistency. For instance, stopping Chandra Arya from running in for re-election and then parachuting Mark Carney, the fraudulently selected leader of the Liberal Party, into his riding to add insult to injury. They have no respect for you. They have no respect for their voters. They're rubbing your noses in it, and somehow there's a huge chunk of this country that loves it. Here's another way. This was from Daniel Smith's Twitter account. On March 20th, Carney says he opposes preset caps on oil and gas production. But on March 21st, the very next day, he says he supports keeping emissions caps on oil and gas. In one clip that I'm sure you've seen, he agrees to do a debate with Pierre Polyev, and then as soon as the camera shut off, he backs out. He doesn't even care to be real. He sat down behind a desk, and he signed a fake executive order, even using a Sharpie, mimicking Donald Trump, mimicking the hated orange man, because the big red machine knows how to run propaganda. They think you're stupid, and that you're not smart enough to understand how your nation works, and that everything that they did in those photo shoots was fake. How can you reward this? How can you want to do anything except replace this? That should be your number one priority. And there's only one way to do it. There's only one vote that can get the job done. This election, more than anything, is a referendum on 10 years of Liberal NDP governance. They've broken the country fiscally. They've broken it demographically. They have mass imported, instead of bringing in immigrants that will actually help strengthen Canada, they bring in dependents by the hundreds of thousands, further putting a burden on the taxpayer. I'm going to read a comment. Kind of broke my heart. Don Cummings, beautiful. I went in a Tim Hortons in downtown Hamilton and asked my boss to drive in from Brampton to meet with me. What a mistake. People sleeping in the entrance in the store, and about 15 North African military-aged men yelling back and forth in some tribal dialect so loudly nobody could carry on a conversation. And I am telling you, that is when I realized after 64 years, our country has fallen, and I'm seriously considering the American option. There's a lot of people hoping to leave this country. I'm not one of them. I'm going to be here regardless of what system I'm governed under. I'm going to be here regardless of outcome. I don't want to leave Canada. People tell me to leave all the time. I'm not looking to leave. I want to stay here, and I want to fight for what's left. I want to see systemic change. If that means we have to break the country up and create independent states or create independent countries, I'm okay with that, because as things are right now, it can't go on. And in order to get to those objectives of reforming the system, we have got to give the Conservative Party a chance. Because whether you like them or not, they enjoy a wide amount of public support. Got a fly attacking me. What are you doing, buddy? I'm trying to get the job done here. With that being said, only my long-term viewers get to the end of these videos, and so I want to put something to you. I went on Wyatt Claypool's platform, the National Telegraph, and we had a discussion. And off-screen, he offered me some advice. He said, you should turn ads on YouTube because you're inhibiting your reach. You know, I want to see you get more people. And with all that being said, I want to ask my audience, those of you who get to the end of these videos constitute the core of my audience. I went on Wyatt Claypool's stream, the National Telegraph, and then last night I did 3 hours with Clyde Do Something. Both men, independently of each other, offered me the same piece of advice. They said, Frank, you need to turn advertising on YouTube. And it's not about the money, because it's peanuts. But when you turn ads on, you get greater reach. Both men feel that I should have more subscribers, and they have said that not having ads turned on is one of the reasons why I'm not getting more reach. Now, I'm more than happy to keep plugging away without ads being turned on. And I know that you can get add-ons in Chrome and Firefox, and you can, like, if you get AdBlock Plus, I believe is the one that I use, you don't have to look at advertising anywhere. You can stop it all. But the question I have is, should I turn ads on to get more reach, or should I leave things the way that they are? Personally, I don't like advertising. I don't want McDonald's serving you ads for their food in my videos. I don't want to make you sit through that. But if we are inhibiting our ability to grow, maybe there's some merit there. Anyway, I'm asking your opinions. I'm not decided on it one way or another. I'm asking for opinions, so please, in the comment section, let me know what you think. I'm Frank Vaughn. If you like the work, please consider financially supporting it via the website. I appreciate it all. Thank you very much for all of your engagement, and I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link and one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.